big rocks and all that sort of thing.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hello and welcome along to the Mick Wall podcast with
co-hosted
by my dear friend and superior Johnny James Hotton. How's that? That better?
That's much better.
That's much better.
Thank you. You're such a kind man.
I'm a very kind man. Right, so if you could speak up a little bit above your normal sort of gay sort of, you know what I mean? Sorry, I didn't mean to use that word in a derogatory way.
No.
You're one of the nice gays. You look like we're going to be cancelled.
No, I don't. Well, I won't be cancelled. I didn't say anything.
Well, no.
You might be cancelled.
Your brethren will stick up for you.
You might be cancelled very soon.
Anyway, John, great to be back.
We're back, yeah.
And today there's a subject which has come up a little bit on my messages. People very, very curious about this whole augmentation of live performance. I've been asked things like, so they're miming? No. Well, not entirely. I was asked, so what about like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards? Are you saying they're miming? No, I'm saying it's augmented. And someone else said, so if I had that technology, could me and my mate sound like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards? Again, no.
Yeah, but I think soon AI, you will be able to.
Well, absolutely.
Just plug yourself into your AI. Because the AI version of me, I see very much as being a musician.
Yes, but you'd be in Journey.
Yes, probably something like that.
You'd be like the singer in Journey.
Very probably, yeah.
Except when the guitar solos come on, and then you would be...
I'd also be the guitarist. I'd be everyone in Journey. I wouldn't be the drummer, bother with the drummer or anything like that.
No.
So let the AI do that.
But you say that, but that, with virtual reality, my son has a headset, and obviously it's AI will be indistinguishable from reality, but he had me walking on the edge of a building and he was like, go on, Dad, just step off the end.
Yeah,
I was like, and I'm in the lounge, I know I'm not on a building. I couldn't do it. I'm like, oh, fuck that. And he went to push me. I was like, no.
And he was like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. Even the girls took a step.
Yeah.
But that's a good point. My thought about AI would be that you could go and see Journey, for instance, back in 82 or 85.
You'd be able to time machine it, yeah.
Yeah, or Led Zeppelin. I'd like to see Led Zeppelin at Madison Square Garden. No, not even that, because that was filmed, wasn't it? I'd like to see Led Zeppelin at Bath Festival.
You could probably invent a venue. You could probably say, I'd like to see Led Zeppelin at, the Lions of Longleat, playing in a safari park, and just do it.
Jimmy Page playing cricket at Lords.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jimmy Page open the batting.
He's a big cricket fan.
Against the West Indies attack of... 1976 would be quite funny,
I'd like to see John Bonham in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
As the, what was he called? The Thing? The Thing in the bondage stuff. What was he called?
The Gimp.
The Gimp!
Yeah.
I'd like to see Bonham versus the Gimp.
Yeah. See, so all of these things will happen. At the moment, you've just got what you describe as augmentation, I presume what it is, for example, if Journey have on Don't Stop Believing backing vocals and all of those things. They're recorded, you know, they're multi-tracked and all of that stuff. And they just come in and you hear those beneath the singer. I presume that's what's going on.
Well, that's one of the things that's going on. You know, the point is, I think, that there's a whole array. There's a menu of stuff you can do depending on what kind of artist you are and what sort of music you intend to play.
How decrepit you are.
Rossi, Francis Rossi, told me, and this is a couple of years ago, he said, because he rambles, so he doesn't sort of go, oh, let me tell you a story. It will just come out of nowhere. And he was like, he said, look, if we don't do it, we're going to sound crap because everybody else does it. Yeah. I'm thinking, what do they do to make status quo augmented?
Mm.
What do you augment? I mean, they're quo.
Yeah, but I mean, I do kind of get it in a way, you know, because a lot of the time those bands, you're sort of competing with your younger self as well, aren't you? So that kind of...
That's a very good point.
You know, I always remember Ross... I interviewed Rick Parfitt, and then he was telling me about his guitar and the fact he would use this really heavy gauge strings.
Right.
And he had really strong hands. And I remember Rossi saying that that was where the Quo sound came from, was the fact that Rick had these big, strong hands. He played these very heavy strings.
Right.
It was like that, darn, you know... That's where it comes from.
Wow.
So if Rick's not there,
yeah,
which he's sadly not, you know, then what...
But his strong hands are still there.
Yeah, so you need that. That's where that attack came from, you know. It's like Iommi and his fingers, isn't it? You're never going to get another guitarist like that unless you chop their bloody fingers off and get them to put washing up bottles on the end.
But even then, I remember, again, years ago, talking to someone that an editor of one of those instrument magazines, there used to be loads of them, didn't there? Beat Instrumental,
Bass Monthly.
I think there's still two of them. Joel McIver edits them both. Drummer.
Yeah.
In brackets for drummers.
Yeah.
What drums do you use?
Yeah.
Anyway, they were saying, look, you know, you could give anybody in the world. We'll say Iommi. You could give them, because you'd have to do the fingers. You could give them Brian May's guitar.
Yeah.
His amps, his whole setup, his roadies come in and they set it up exactly as they do for Brian every night. And you're the biggest Queen fan in the world. You know exactly what Brian plays. You're going to come in and play the solo to Kill a Queen or whatever it is. He said, you ain't going to be able to do it.
No.
You won't even sound fucking close.
Yeah.
So... I don't think it's that they can use this technology and, oh, now I'm Mick Jagger. I mean, with AI, of course, but that's not what we're talking about right now. Do you remember, and I was trying to think how long ago it was. It's got to be over 10 years. Hang on. Yeah, got to be. The O's, the noughties. There was a controversy in classic rock where someone had claimed that David Coverdale was using technology on his voice.
Right, yeah.
And I hadn't paid any attention to this. And then, lo and behold, about 6 months later, I'm doing a phoner with him for something. And the PR says, oh, and by the way, don't bring up that stuff about... And I'm like, what stuff?
Yeah.
He said, well, he's already answered those questions. And I'm like, what questions? And the question was, are you using technology to prop up your aging voice? And of course he fucking was, because everybody was and everybody is. But at the time it was like, oh, what? Coverdale?
Yeah.
But, so I think it's been the norm for decades now. But I think, I mean, I think I told you before, we said this before, my friend Ian Jeffrey, the tour manager, who was with AC/DC in the 70s and Ozzy in the 80s, Metallica, and then ended up doing U2 again, like in the noughties. And he was saying, you know, with AC/DC, it was a battle every night. You never knew what you were up against because it was real sound. There might be 200 people there. There might be 500. It would be this rickety old place. It would be this high-tech place. Every day there's a fight. He said, U2. He said, you hit the click on the laptop, you go and have dinner.
Yeah.
So what's he clicking on the laptop? Yeah. It can't just be the lights.
Well, you see, well, you know what emerged this week, or since our last conversation, is, I mean, this is probably, you know, the internecine wars between Motley Crue and the dealer.
Yes, this is what we want to hear about. Well, the dealer.
I think the dealer.
The dealer has dealt the death blow.
The dealer has dealt from the bottom of the deck, as is his wont. And he's put out a video of his monitor sound when he's playing live on the crew. So this is what he has through his monitor and in his in-ear sound. So when he puts those things
in his ears. While he's playing live with the crew.
Yeah, when he's playing live with the crew, this is what Mick Mars is hearing and doing. So this is his response to the fact they're saying Mick couldn't play the songs. Mick could, you know, Mick was doing this, that and the other. And what does Mick Mars hear through his ear when the crew are playing? Well, essentially, all he hears is this. He's got a click track.
Oh, right, a click track.
Just got a click track just doing that, so it's giving him the beat. It's not even Tommy Lee's drums. It's a click track just giving him the twos and fours or four or four, whatever it is they're playing. And you hear Mick's guitar, so... And you realise when you hear what a guitarist is playing during a song that how boring most of it must be, because you are just through girls, you just go
that's my favourite part.
Surprisingly, this may shock you. He doesn't have Vince's vocal in his ear.
No,
I mean that may shock you. Because you do pick up a bit of Vince in the background, and he's just like, oh my God, girls, girls, girls. It's like some old drunk shouting in the corner of a pub who you can just barely hear.
And does he not hear Nicky's sonic bass?
But the other thing is, you see Vince walking around on the stage, and you hear him like putting the mic to the audience and all of this. And it's the classic. He puts the mic to the audience while the Vince Neil voice is still coming out of his microphone, you know. So it's like, yeah, you know, good deal from the dealer, because he didn't even have to say anything. He didn't even have to say, it's all there. Everything you need to know is there.
Well, he's always been a man of few words.
Well, he says, I don't need to say anything, just listen. And if you've got a brain, you'll be able to work out what's happening.
He lets the music do the talking.
And I have to say, the dealer wasn't bad. You know, his guitar bits were fine until he started to go a bit off-piste towards the end of one of them. It was a bit ropey, but then,
maybe he was just improvising.
Who knows what the fuck's going on?
It was a solo.
Yeah.
He's probably bearing his soul.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah,
you know, a bearing of the soul.
Yeah,
guitarists are allowed to go off piece.
So
especially
I think,
the caliber. So
I'm saying now that I think the dealer's won this one. I think he's got it in the bag.
What will they come back with, though?
Well, I don't know, because what can they? Because he's come back with his in-ear thing. So, I mean, this is the genuine thing. This is what happened.
What if Nicky comes back with his in-ear thing?
That's all that's going to be. I mean,
yeah, but in the background you can hear Mick. Instead of like, you know, na 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 na, you hear na na na.
Well, they said he was playing the wrong song. So I mean, conceivably, these click tracks could have been. He could have been supposed to be playing something else.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
Or they might have tricked him.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we always do girls, girls, seventh song that click track, though, it's probably the same for every song, isn't it, with Motley Crue?
Probably, pretty much. I mean, I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find it. And that is all you hear. You see it.
No, I did listen, but it's on... Yeah.
I think that's a click track. I don't think that's the drums. I think that's a click track.
No, it definitely isn't the drums. Yeah. No, a click track is metronomic. It's exactly like that.
Yeah.
And they've been using those since the early 90s.
Yeah. And it just keeps... I mean, it makes sense.
Usually for drummers, though.
It makes sense. Do you think... I mean, the crew shows, they're on a big stage, so you're not always going to be by your monitor. So you've just got something in... You're not always going to be by the drums. You're not always... You know, there's probably going to be 50 feet between you and the bass player. So you're not going to be necessarily hearing what they're doing. So if you've got in your head the rhythm of the song you're playing, it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. other than the fact he's probably played it 4 million times.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. But then you look, you're just trying to do it right that night, aren't you, I suppose?
But are we picking on the crew and the dealer?
Well, no, because they're the ones who've they've come out with this, shed the light. They were the ones who said, you know, Mick's playing the wrong song. You know, he's not there half the time. He can't, whatever he can't do, they say he can't play anymore. That's what they're saying. Well, you know, newsflash, Vince, if he could ever fucking sing, can't sing anymore. And yet coming out of the PA is this sound, you know, Vince Neil sound.
And Nicky, is he any good on the bass? I mean, is he playing the bass? I mean, I'm trying to think about the bass. You don't really hear a lot of bass.
Didn't the dealer say Nicky Six hasn't played bass since, like, you know, 1985 or something?
Yeah.
Because, see, what might happen now, is what should really happen is the dealer will come and spill the beans about Matthew Tripp. Because the dealer was the one who allegedly recruited Matthew Tripp, wasn't it, when he found him sleeping in a car.
Yeah, practising a bass. Yeah. He went, you can play bass, you're in.
Oh, he didn't even ask him if he could play bass. Well,
he just thought he looked like clearly he didn't need to.
Yeah.
He didn't
Let's try and get hold of the dealer. That would be great. If he just said, no, I'm going to spill the whole lot now. The whole charade.
Do you know, people talk about getting guests on the show. And
I would actually only agree to Mick Mars coming on the show.
The dealer.
Yeah.
Let's put an invitation out
there
right now.
There's only one guest we would accept on this show.
Because I tell you what, he is my hero. He really is. He's the ultimate 80s rock star.
Yeah, he is.
He was always authentic, I think, you know, in brackets, in inverted commas, because he could play.
Well, yeah, he can.
Nicky looked good. Vince looked good. In the 80s, Tommy looked good. Mick, God bless him, he didn't look the best, but he could play. He was the one guy in the group that really actually had, what's it called? Musical talent.
Had the chops.
He had the chops.
Yeah.
He had the strong hands.
Yeah. He had the strong hands. Tommy's a good drummer, you know.
He's a good drummer. Yeah.
And then Nicky, you know, the bass, you just... It's relatively simple, isn't it? I mean,
it depends. I mean, bass is a fan.
Not if you're like Geddy Lee or something. But I mean, it's not going to take Geddy Lee long to play "Girls, Girls, Girls," is it?
So how's it? Du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du. So how would the bass go? Dunga, 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 dunga.
I don't know. No one listens to it, do they?
Dunga. We can't hear it, can you?
You don't
it's
care,
not like
do
Maiden.
Yeah.
We can hear the bass in Maiden.
You're forced to listen to it. If you go and see Iron Maiden, you're going to hear the bass. That's just the way it is.
you better like bass.
Yeah, you better like bass. It's like when you went to see Manowar and Joey DeMeo did the solo, The Black Wind. Yeah, the Black... No, but what was it? He did the classical music thing, didn't he? He played it super fast. Flight of the Bumblebee, was it? Because obviously it's better if it's played at supersonic speed.
On a loud electric guitar and a heavy metal
gig. Yeah, a loud electric bass.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yes, of course. Well, that was... See, Joey was a bass player.
By a man in a loincloth. It's always way better.
I'm sure I've told you of the trip I took with Crusher and Malcolm Dunn in, I'm going to say, 84.
Right, yeah.
We had Man of War on the cover of Kerrang in
their loincloths. Rightly so.
And they were coming to play the Hammersmith Odeon. And I had no idea what the fuck... I wasn't even listening. It was just an excuse to get out of the office, you know. Are you going to come with us to hear the Black Wind? You know, but Crusher was always had great sort of sayings for, you know, will you come and see the whatever it was, the Black Wind? It didn't mean anything. It just meant that was his word for Man of War.
Yeah,
you're going to come and witness, experience the Black Wind. I'm like,
of course we are.
I don't know what he's talking about. So we turn up. Me, Malcolm and Crusher, you know, the cutting edge of Kerrang.
The three amigos.
And Joey DeMeo comes out and he it's sound check and he hooks it all up, whatever they're going to do. And we literally shows us, we have to stand there with our heads in the bass bin like this. You will experience the power of the Black Wind. And I'm like, go on in, mate. Next thing.
Fucking.
I'm looking at Crusher, I swear to God. It's like those astronauts when they're taking off. You know, they... It's like that.
Wow.
I couldn't fucking hear anything for about 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah, because they were the loudest band I ever saw at the Hammersmith Odeon. And then when they made Achilles, they made a concept album. It had on it a song called Achilles, Agony and Ecstasy in 8 Parts, and it was amazing. Me and Paul Elliott loved it. It was when Kerrang had moved to Carnaby Street.
Oh right.
And they were going to come into the office and review the singles. Joey DeMeo and Eric Adams. And so me and Paul Elliott,
true metal,
me and Paul Elliott,
death to false
yeah,
metal,
exactly, having nothing better to do with our time, we made an arch out of cardboard. It was ridiculous, like a kind of had daggers and stuff on it. And when we heard they were coming up the stairs, we turned Achilles, the Agony and the Ecstasy, up as high as the Kerrang stereo would go. It was really fucking loud. It was like vibrating. And it had the arch, and they came up the stairs and were like, dun, da, 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 dun, dun. And they fucking loved it. They loved it. You know what magazine was next door at the time? Select. Imagine what they thought of that. Mark Ellen going, what's going on?
Pulp of change.
Yeah. Here comes Joey in his fucking loincloth. He thought it was so excellent. I had a phone call later that afternoon, and he goes, I've got something for you. Come over to the hotel, which was inevitably the...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What's that? The Columbia.
Oh,
the Columbia.
The bucket of blood, yeah, as it used to be.
Yeah. He gave me like one of those electronic personal organisers, which were very new at the time. You know, it was like before you could get an actual phone or anything like that. And it was just like a electronic diary.
Oh.
And you would tap the keys.
Rings a bell. I never
a very early sort of version of a BlackBerry or something. But I mean, really? You couldn't really do much. Yeah, he gave me one of those.
Did it have the Man of War logo?
No, it didn't. I really wish it had. It's very kind of him. He's a very nice man.
Very nice man.
He's a very nice man.
All I had in those days was a Filofax.
I don't know what he gave Paul Elliott. I don't think Paul Elliott got anything, but Paul had made most of the arch.
But he was not true metal.
No, that's right.
You know,
Jerry recognized, game recognizes game, as they say.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Without the M on it, you know. So I've lost our thread. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, can you imagine Man of War?
Well, yeah, but they were so loud. But they were so loud, it didn't matter. I mean, they were so loud, it got to the point where you couldn't actually hear what they were doing,
right?
Because it was so loud. It was, you know, it was just a noise.
Yeah,
the black wind.
The black wind. Yeah.
So the dealer, is not in that kind of league, but I think the dealer has won this one in terms of the augmentation.
I think he won from the word go.
So the crew,
what's interesting
so
is
I think
how
the crew are
pushing
to,
back on it.
Yeah, the crew are going to have to pay out, I think. Because now Nicky's just going, oh, we're in the studio, we're recording an album, you know, with our very good friend John Five.
Right.
You know, he's very soon going to be...
But that was their thing, wasn't it? Mick's retired from touring, but he'll still be involved.
Yeah, he said he was still going to make an album. Well, where is he? He's not
where
there,
is he?
Is he? He's not there. Vince is there. You know,
is he though?
Well, you know, he's there.
Oh, he's
I don't know
there,
what he's doing,
but is he singing?
Well, who knows?
Home sweet home.
I mean, you know, it's hard to imagine what Vince is going to come up with these days.
Do we even need a new Motley Crue?
No, of course we don't. This is probably their distraction tactic.
Although I tell you what, I was at the gym the other day, and I have it on while I'm gymming, while I'm pushing my body to the limits of its physical endurance.
Limits barely seen by man.
This is not a mistake, by the way. I'm gesturing to my cathedral-like body.
Yeah.
Or not cathedral-like, it is a cathedral.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm on the synchro, the cross trainer, giving it.
Like, what was it, Nordic skiing?
That's right.
Yeah.
I feel the wind in my hair. That's maybe stretching the point. But I feel the sweat in my
eyes. That's the one there where you've got the rifle over it. James Hetfield did a sport. That's the sport we do. Because you have to stop and shoot, and then you put your gun back on, you're back on that.
That's right.
Nordic skiing.
But you have to go at that particular time of year when the bears are just coming out of hibernation.
Yeah.
And then you stop. It gives you time to stop and aim.
Well, you're supposed to slow your heart rate down. That's the key. That's why they're supreme athletes. So they stop and they go, and all their heart rate drops and everything. They just hold the gun, fire, back on the shoulder, back on.
Wow.
Heart rate back up through the roof again.
Well, that would be slow the heart rate, speed it up. Yeah. That's a good, what do you call it? Cardiovascular workout.
Yeah, that was Nordic skiing, Matt. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, I do Nordic skiing, but without the gun.
You need to get yourself a gun.
I do. You're right. I will consider that. But I have on my amazing headphones, I have on shuffle, I have various rock tunes because I find them handy. And purely on shuffle the other day, there I'm giving it, you know, to the max.
Yeah.
And Motley Crue came on.
Ooh.
Now, if it's Dr. Feelgood, you're in luck.
Yeah.
Because that really goes. Girls, Girls, Girls is good. Crazy Horse in Paris, France.
Yeah.
Wildside, perfect.
Yeah, take a walk. Take a walk. Take a walk on the wild side. Composed by M. Tripp.
You're not going to let that go.
Never let
are
it
you?
Go. Not till the Never. Dealer's on here telling us the truth.
Well, we were going to say we've got to extend the hand of friendship to
the
Mick
dealer.
Mars,
yes,
because he is my favourite rock star from the 80s. He's a man of fucking integrity, and he's been shat on for too long. And if you ever want to come on here, Mick, we promise
we give
you
a platform.
We will build an arch.
We will. Yeah.
So I'm at the gym. Motley Crue comes on, but it's not one of the ones that normally comes on. It was Looks That Kill.
Oh, yeah. She's got the looks that kill. It's a really early one, isn't it?
Yeah. But I tell you what, since then, I can't get it out of my head.
She's got the looks that kill.
But it's the riff. Da, 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 da.
Yes.
Da, da, da. And then it goes, da, da. Dan, dan,
sounds a bit like the Flintstones.
Dan, that's all Mick. That is all Mick. Yeah, he brought class to the crew. He did.
Well said.
Thank you. So, Mick, if you're listening, come
Which
on.
He undoubtedly is.
Yes. So we're going to move away from augmentation with the final words. Listen, mate, stop asking me questions. Not you, the people that ask questions. Stop asking questions.
They do it.
They all fucking do it.
Yeah. The ones that can afford it.
Free to those that can afford it.
Very expensive to those that have to play live.
Yeah. In a club.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to see them.
The only one I don't think does it, and only because, his voice does sound... If he was doing it, his voice would sound better, let's put it like that, is Elton John.
Right, yeah.
You know, I'm Jill Danding.
Yeah. But then when you get to... When the gig's a certain size as well, you just want to hear something that...
Yeah.
Approximates Elton John, you're quite happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from that, I forgot. Oh, yeah. So we've gone from that to a thing that I thought had died out but has been brought back. Roger Waters. Now, I've listened to a tiny bit of it because how many more times do you need to hear Dark Side of the Moon, which is one of my favourites.
I'm going to take you to the dark side of the moon. That one.
One day you look behind 10 years of gone behind you. No one told you when to run. Da da da. You missed the starting gun.
Mm, yeah, that's good. That's a good bit. That's
that
good.
Stayed with me. My whole. I was 14 when I heard that, and I still remember death on my shoulder.
Yeah.
So it's the 50th anniversary, and oh, what a surprise. Pink Floyd have put out a special 50th anniversary. Yaddy, they did it for the 40, did it for the 30, did it for the 20. You know, give me a fucking break. Roger Waters has put out his own, or is putting out in May, as we speak. It might be even there now. His own version of Dark Side of the Moon, which is exactly the same, except... None of the others. Yeah,
Dave Gilmour's not on it.
None of them are on it, as far as I know.
Yeah,
definitely not Gilmour. And he's come out and said, look, I wrote it, all this wee stuff. I wrote it. It was my record and I can do what I like. What do you make of that?
Well, this is one of those things. See, I always thought, now this may be just my opinion, is that, you know, Waters, I'm sure he did. He did write all that stuff, you know, was the one who originated that stuff. Mm. But Gilmour's the one who put the guitar solos on it that everyone remembers and, you know, came up with the, you know, the intro to Wish You Were Here and all of those little... Well, I don't know if he did come up. I'm busking. I don't know what he came up. Dave Gilmour, here's an example, okay? The Wall, right? Everyone loves The Wall. What is the thing on The Wall that everyone loves?
Comfortably numb. Dave Gilmour.
Who wrote Comfortably Numb? Dave Gilmour. So Roger writes all the... It's this... pay end to his agony as growing up as a post-war child or whatever it is. But the bit everyone remembers is Comfortably Numb, and that's Dave Gilmour's bit.
And also, when he finally got rid of them all and did make a Pink Floyd album on his own...
No one wanted
the final...
The final cut.
Yeah.
It was like cutting your own fucking teeth out.
And all his solo albums. I think I said this before to you. I knew this. He was now working in radio, this engineer. And I used to work in radio, and I bumped into him. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm working on the new Roger Waters album. And that album was Amused to Death when it came out, early 90s. I went, new Roger Waters album? I said, that must be depressing. And he goes, no, it's fucking depressing. So clearly, he could, Dark Side of the Moon would not have existed if the four...
Exactly. That's the thing. It's that, you know, it's like there's that famous story of, I can't remember the guy who was it like, this huge advertising agency, and he was the head of it, and they get the British Airways account, and all the guys are beavering away, you know, and they come up with this, you know, phrase, and it's the world's greatest airline, and the lead guy, Saatchi, just takes out his pen and he crosses out greatest and he writes favorite. Well, and now it's like, and that becomes the, everyone remembers, oh, it's the world's. Now, who wrote that? And it's like, he didn't sit around coming up with the world, all this. He didn't come up with it. He just changed a word, but it's the right word.
Change a word.
Get a third. We'll get more than a third in his case.
The story I heard, which may be apocryphal, but it's even nicer
better.
Than that.
Better, go on.
Apparently, because it was the brothers, Charles and the other one, the Saatchi brothers.
Bruce.
Apparently, they were playing chess.
Oh, okay.
And a minion comes over and goes, oh, sorry to interrupt you. What do you think of this? You know, the world's greatest airline. Yeah. Just looked and crossed out greatest and wrote, favourite.
Yeah.
Genius.
So, yeah, it's that thing of, so it's like, they come up Comfortably Numb and Dave Gilmour plays that guitar solo. You go, that's the bit everyone remembers. You know, that's the bit.
Or Dark Side that's of the Moon, the great gig in the sky, is all Rick Wright.
Yeah.
There are no lyrics.
Yeah.
There's just that beautiful piano.
Yeah. So it's all of them. It's like, so Waters is coming up with the ideas. He's come up with the concepts. And no one's trying to take that away from him. No one's trying to say you didn't come up with that. No one's trying to say, you know... Everyone knows The Wall is his story. It's his thing. And it's a work of great art. You know, no one's trying to say it's not. But it's just, you know, they've fallen out. They've diametrically opposing political views. And it's become this great clusterfuck.
That's the other thing is Gilmour's wife accused Waters of being anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And because of some comments he made.
Yeah, he's very pro-Palestine. Isn't he's pro-Palestine. Right. Very, very much so.
Yeah. Is that the contrarian in him? I don't want to get into politics.
No, but it probably is. Yeah, he is a contrarian, isn't he? So it's probably a bit of that, and the fact that, like, they've been, you know, their whole lives have been yoked together. They've had how long has this been going on for? You know, Waters left Floyd. What? How many? decades
back in the
ago.
80s,
yeah,
40 years.
They did the one thing at Hyde Park where they sort of got together and played three songs
for Live Aid.
Yeah,
but Waters, a bit like David Lee Roth, all these years would have given his right fucking toenail to be back in Floyd.
And also, yeah, the other thing is, though, on the records, Waters sings all of these things. Now, Gilmour's been singing them for so long, you kind of have his voice in your head when you hear those songs.
I always thought Gilmour sang a few of the songs on
Dark
Side.
He did.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
It's a bit like Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel in Jersey. Yeah. They sound alike.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Because Gilmour definitely sang, like on Medal, he sang that acoustic one with the dog barking. Ah, it's a wonderful one, but I can't remember what it's called. But why would you... Okay, so you're all fucked up. Oh, they hate me, I hate them. Why would you re-record the whole album with other
people? I'll tell you why. Because you know who has done that? And a great business success. No, Taylor Swift. Because she had a massive row with her record company.
Oh, yeah.
So she has re-recorded her whole back catalogue and called them Taylor's version. And now that's all anyone plays on Spotify. So that's kind of worked for her because, you know, it means all of the royalties that she wasn't getting, she is now getting. So maybe Waters thinks, oh, well, everyone will play my version when they're on my Spotify page.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know.
I don't think they will. I think it would be like fucking Paul McCartney. You don't have to be a Beatles fan for this. It's just an analogy. Paul McCartney re-recording all of Sgt. Pepper without the others. It's like, why?
Yeah, unless you're going to do a kind of radically different take on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that might be interesting, you know, to say, well, this is how I originally heard this song or that song. It was going to be a bit
like
this.
On the record, it's money, it's a gap. See, originally, Roger Waters wrote, money, I love it. Money, give me some more. More.
He sounds a bit like Bob Dylan in your iteration.
Well, you know, when you hang out with someone a lot, you pick up their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thumbs down to Roger Waters doing this?
Well, I just think he sounds unhappy and bitter and...
Well, his last tour only made about 800 million.
Yeah, and you think, what's your fucking problem? You know, it's just like, you're just an unhappy person. Get to the root of that. Don't fucking worry about re-recording albums no one's going to listen to.
Let's go back 50 years.
You look at Gilmour, and I saw some documentary about him. He lives in a massive house. He's got a lovely wife, got nice kids, you know, and he sits around dicking around with his guitar every now and again and playing Pink Floyd. He's perfectly happy.
Yeah.
Perfectly happy. Yeah. Just do that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when he walks out the door, he's Dave Gilmour, and everyone goes, oh, bloody hell, you know.
But you see, Roger Waters, he's not depressing. He's fucking depressing.
Yeah.
There was a great picture on social media a couple of years ago. It was Dave Gilmour's daughter. I don't know how old she is, but she looked as if she was about 16 or something, and she's got a guitar on at home, and she's got the guitar on, and she's obviously just, you know, playing, having for standing up, electric guitar, and her dad is leaning over trying to show her, and her face is like, Dad, fuck off.
Yeah. It's like, how many people would kill to just have Dave Gilmour tell them something about the guitar?
But her face is a picture. Especially if you're a dad, you know
that you do.
Fuck, are you leaving?
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, you're so embarrassing.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell.
Well, on that note, yes, let's say farewell.
Say farewell
to happy Roger Waters. And good luck to the dealer. Hope this next week in the social media wars goes your way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mick, we're here. We're with you. We're waiting.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
We'll be right back. How do I stop this, Fern?